Great Plays, The Silver King.
I held it truth with him who sings on one clear harp of diverse tones, that men may rise on stepping stones of their dead selves to higher things.
The Silver King by Henry Arthur Jones and Henry Herman is the most famous English melodrama of the 19th century, an instantaneous hit from the moment of its respective openings in both London and New York. It continued to be a popular success throughout the world for over 30 years and is estimated to have netted a theatrical fortune of between $3 and $4 million. In dealing with the play of the sentimental 80s, we may be excused, perhaps, for indulging in a few moments of sentimental reminiscence. Miss Lucille Wall, a leading lady of today, is discussing the play with Mr. Harry Cooper Cliff, a leading man of yesterday and today.
Well, Harry, I've played with you a good many times, but I don't think I'm up to this.
What do you mean, Lucille?
Why, attempting to tell you anything about the Silver King.
Oh, you wouldn't be the first modern young leading lady who's tried to teach an old actor new tricks.
Oh, now, Harry. Well, anyway, I've been studying my part, and I've dug up a few facts about the play.
So?
Yes. It was first produced in London on November the 16th, 1882, at the Princess Theatre, where it ran for 289 performances.
A tremendous hit from the very first night of its opening.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who played the hero, Wilfred Denver?
Mr. Wilson Barrett.
That's right. And the spider?
Mr. E.S. Willard.
Yes. And who followed him in the role with the original London company?
Oh, now, Harry.
I did.
What?
Yes. And do you know who created the role of old Coombe, the receiver of stolen goods?
Yes, Clifford Cooper.
Yes. And do you know who he was?
No.
My father.
Why, Harry, of course. Clifford Cooper.
Yes.
Harry Cooper Cliff.
That's it.
And that means that today you're playing the same part that was created by your father at the Princess Theatre in 1882.
Yes. Sort of carrying on the torch, what?
Oh, and what a flame. What a flame.
In those good old days, the authors wrote parts that you could get your teeth into. Parts you could really act.
Yes, and the acting in those days was more, well, robust.
It had to be. The theatres were larger and you had to have the voice to fill them. No twiddle twaddle about the intimate drama in those days.
No. No, oratory is what the actors required.
Yes, and what the audience wanted.
And still want, I sometimes think, Harry. Of course, it has to be streamlined a bit for our modern audiences. And that reminds me, Harry, among our listeners today are several who saw the original 1883 New York production of The Silver King.
Oh, really?
But one listener in particular we're very, very proud of. Mr. Arthur Wallach, son of the famous actor-manager Lester Wallach and the only living founder of the Lambs Club. Mr. Wallach arranged with Henry Arthur Jones for the New York production of the play at Wallach Theater on January the 27th, 1883. Last week, on April the 15th, Mr. Wallach was 91 years old.
Good gracious.
Mm-hmm. So to him today, in honor of his 91st birthday, we wish to dedicate our radio performance of The Silver King.
Oh, that's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
And he didn't forget you members of the cast either.
Oh?
We asked him if he had any message for you, and a humorous twinkle came into his keen eyes, and a warm smile glowed on his face, and he said, "Tell them I hope they do well."
Oh, really? Well, I hope they do.
So now, for Mr. Arthur Wallach, The Silver King.
Thank you.
opening scene is the Skittle Alley at the Wheat Sheep, Clerkenwell. Old Jakes is addressing the landlord, Mr. Tubbs.
What cheer, Mr. Tubbs?
Oh, you must give Mr. Denver a little extra time tonight, Mr. Jakes. Oh, there's a good many public houses between Epsom and here.
Yes, but he'll be home early tonight. He promised the missus he would. And I want to catch him and pop him off to bed quiet afore she sets eyes on him, do you see?
He's been going at a pretty pace lately, ain't he?
Well, he's a bit wild, but there ain't no harm in him. Bless him. It's the blood. He's got too much nature in him. That's what it is. His father was just like him when he was a young man. Larking, hunting, drinking, fighting, steeplechasing, any mortal spree under the sun. Out all night and as fresh as a daisy in the morning. And his grandfather, old Squire Denver, just such another. Ah, there was a man for you, if you like. The last 10 years of his life, he never went to bed sober one night.
Not while.
Yes, he did one night. When the groom locked him in the stable by mistake, and then he was ill for months afterwards.
He could take his lotion pretty regular, eh?
Aye, and Master Will is a chip of the old block. He'll make a man yet.
Yes, I'm all right. I'm drunk as a fool. I've lost every cursed halfpenny I've got in the world. I'm all right.
Oh, bad luck again, Master Will.
The devil's own luck, Jakes. Put everything on pedicate. And I'm ruined, Jakes.
Oh, no, Master Will, don't say that. Come, Master Will, you'd better come home.
No, I won't go home. I've got no home. I've drunk it up.
Oh, for mercy's sake, Master Will, don't talk like that.
Jakes, don't let her come here. Find me like this. Tell her I'm not to be found. Tell her any lie that comes handiest, but don't let her see me. Be off now. Be off.
Oh, poor Master Will, ruined. What will become of the poor missus and the dear little one?
There's always one way out of it. If it wasn't such a coward's trick, I'd do it.
If you don't know what to do with that revolver, I'll take care of it for you.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Baxter. I do know what to do with it. Much obliged for your advice.
Oh, Tabs, how do?
How do, Harry?
Henry Corkin, Esquire, from you, Tabs, if you please.
Oh, Henry, is it?
That blue ribbon for a winning a place landed £500.
No.
Look there. Champagne for everybody. Come, gentlemen, all drink my health.
Ah, the spider at last.
My dear boy, I'm so glad you've come.
If you accost me again in a public place, I'll wring your neck for you, you old weasel.
But, my dear boy, business is business. And it's a big fortune for us all. A sack full of diamonds in Hatton Garden.
Mm.
No risk, no danger. All as safe and easy as saying your prayers.
How do we get in?
Cut through the wall of the next house. That young Corkin to the bar there is Geoffrey Ware's clerk. He sleeps in the house we want to get into.
You hold your infernal cackle. Don't you see that man watching us? It's Baxter, the detective.
Baxter, the detective?
Yes, you fool. Don't look at him. He means to follow me up. I'll throw him off the scent directly.
Now, gentlemen, let's be merry. Drink up. Look here, I made my money like a gentleman, and I'll spend it like a gentleman.
Just relieve that young fool of those notes while I draw off Baxter's attention. You'll be able to get hold of him when you've picked his pockets.
You'll be there as soon as it's dusk. 114 Hatton Garden.
Where's the ancient Briton?
He'll be on the spot.
Right. So you want to have a finger in our pie, do you, Sam Baxter? That's right. Follow me up. I'll lead you a pretty dance tonight. Hi, boy. Get me a hansom.
Gotcha. Hey, gentlemen. Float if I don't stand you another bottle of champagne. I've got money enough. Here. What's this? Somebody stole me money.
What? Nonsense, Henry. There ain't no thieves here.
Yes.
Kill again.
I felt it's gone. Somebody's got it. Somebody must have it.
Now, come, gentlemen. No larks with the poor young fella. If you've got his money, give it back to him.
I'm ruined, you know. I'm ruined.
Why, of course. That man must have it.
Which?
Why, Baxter. The man with the billycock hat and check trousers. I saw him sneaking round your elbow. He's got it.
Which way, Diggo?
This way. Come on. I'll help you catch him. Oh, I should know the rascal again when I see him. Come on.
Come on, gentlemen, help me find him. I'm ruined. I'm ruined.
There's another man ruined. Cheer up. We'll go to the dogs together. Tubbs, give me some brandy.
You've had enough, Mr. Denton.
I'm the best judge of that. It's a free country. Anybody can bring himself to death at last.
All right, it's your funeral. There you are.
There you are, my fine fellow. I think my plan's working pretty well. I think Nellie had better marry me after all. stick to it. I'll bring you to the gutter. I'll see you in the workhouse yet before I've done with you.
Well, Will, how are you?
I am three parts drunk and the rest mad, so keep out of my way, Jeffrey Ware.
Nonsense, Will. I never saw you looking so bright and sober. I'm very glad, for Nellie's sake.
Whose sake?
Mrs. Denver, excuse the slip of the tongue. She was once engaged to me, you know.
She knew better than to marry her, didn't she?
Yes, it seems she did, for she married you.
Yes, and she'll stick to me through thick and thin. Why, you sneaking cur. You think my wife can't see through you?
Oh, come, Will. I don't bear you any grudge for taking away my sweetheart. I'm only too glad to see what a nice, kind, sober husband she's got.
I warned you once, and take a fool's advice and keep out of my way. The devil's in me tonight, and he'll break out directly.
Well, take care of yourself, dear boy, for my sake. Give my kindest regards to Nellie.
You cur!
Will.
Nellie, you here, you in this place.
Yes. Isn't a wife's place by her husband's side?
Not when he's such a husband as I am. You go home, my darling. You go home. I'll come by and by.
No, my poor Will. Come now.
Nell, I've lost every sixpence I've got in the world. Tomorrow you and the chicks will be starving. Nell, my bonny, bonny girl, look at me. What made you marry a drunken brute like me?
Because I loved you. I love you still. Oh, never mind the past, dear. Come home and make a fresh start tomorrow.
Oh, I can't. I must go on.
Oh, don't say that, dear. You must stop yourself for my sake.
Sweetest, truest wife a man ever had. And married to such a wretch as I am. Don't you come here. You only make me think of what a brute I've been to you.
Will, I've just put our little Sissy and Ned to bed. And they said, God bless, dear father.
Don't teach them that. Don't teach them to pray for me. Teach them to curse and hate me. Go away, Nell. Go home, my girl. Go home.
No.
Tubbs, give me some brandy. Don't keep me waiting.
Another brandy, Mr. Denver?
Have you suffered enough?
Jeffrey Ware, that you should see me here.
Has he dragged you deep enough into the mire? Or will you go deeper still, to rags and to the gutter? Nellie, you once promised to be my wife.
Yes, and I repented even before I promised. I never loved you, and you know it. You worried me into a consent, and when I found out my mistake, I told you of it and married a better man.
Yes. Yeah. And there stands the better man.
Another brandy.
Look at him. A pattern husband.
Another brandy.
Respectable, sober.
What harm have I ever done to you?
You married him. I swore that day I'd ruin him, and I've kept my word. Good evening, Mrs. Denver.
Stop, you cur, and answer to me.
Dear fellow, you're drunk, you know.
Wait,
Will! Will, he's not worth
Let
it.
Let me get at him. Let me go.
Master,
no, Will. He's not worth it.
What are you going to do, Master?
I'm
going to
kill that man.
Master.
I'll shoot him like a
dog. Will, stop. Oh, Will, nobody stop him.
We follow Coombe and Corkett.
You say... You don't know the numbers of the notes, eh?
Yeah. Only got them off the bookmaker this afternoon. I never took the numbers.
Ah, that's lucky. Well, you see, the man got off with your money.
Yes, but I say you won't split on me, will you? I borrowed that money to put it on Blue Ribbon.
Borrowed the money?
Yes. £80 off me governor, Mr. Ware.
Oh, I see. Without his knowing. Ah, that's awkward. That's very awkward.
I got the straight tip. I knew Blue Ribbon was immoral, and I meant to put the money back. Honor bright, I did.
Of course you did. You was actuated by very honorable intentions.
And now I shall be found out tomorrow and have to go to court.
Ah, that's a pity. And the worst of it is the judges are so unfeeling to parties as borrows their governor's money, without mentioning it to their governors.
Are they?
Oh, brutal. Especially to young men as borrows their governor's money to put on horses.
You don't say so. I say... How long do you think I shall get?
Well, if you happen to get a nice, kind, feeling judge with his stomach in good working order, you may get off with, say, 7 years.
7 years?
Yes, but don't you reckon on that. because there was a young fella tried at the Old Bailey a week or two since for borrowing money just as you've done. A handsome, pleasant young man he seemed to be, just like you.
Yes. And what did he get?
Well, he got 14 years.
14 years?
Yes, I felt quite sorry for him.
What can I do?
Well, now, look here. I've took a bit of a fancy to you, and I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll lend you £80.
You will? You're a brick.
Yes, providing you'll oblige me in a little matter.
I'll do anything for you. You're a jolly kind old man, and no mistake.
Now, you... You live at 114 Atton Garden, don't you?
Yes.
Who sleeps in the house besides you?
Only my governor and the old porter.
Your governor spends his evenings out, don't he?
Comes in about 12 as a rule.
Well, now, a friend of mine wants to spend half an hour in your governor's sitting room tonight.
What?
He's a photographer, and he's taking night views of London. Now, could you let us into the house and keep the old porter out of the way?
I say, what's up?
Never you mind. Will you help us? Or will you go to Quad tomorrow?
Oh, okay.
Ah, that's a very sensible young man. Now, dear boy, you stroll on just in front of me. Now, don't you get out of my sight. That's it.
If I once get out of this mess, I'll never get into another.
Yeah, now, that's all done neat and clean. Now to Mr. Geoffrey Wares. If the ancient Briton can't work in or for leads, this young gentleman will open the front door for us. And all we've got to do is to walk upstairs.
All clear?
Yes, Captain. Mr. Ware is going out for the evening.
Light. Turn on that lantern. Give me my tools. You'll find them in that pocket.
Beauties, ain't they? I was a week making them jimmies.
Well, it was time well spent. What the plague did you want me for tonight? I was just studying for Lady Blanche Winter's dinner party.
What the blazes has that got to do with me? If you're above your business, say so, and I'll crack the crib myself.
Give me the plan.
The safe's just the other side of this wall here.
Shut up. Not so much cackle. Now, Cripps, look alive. Because I must be at Lady Blanche's dance at 12.
Oh, blow, Lady Blanche.
What's that row?
What? Have you all? Hey, boy, here's that tipsy fella down at the door. Playing Deuce and Tommy. Swears he'll pull the house down if we don't let him come up.
What's he want?
Mr. Ware. Won't take our word he's out. What can we do?
Send him up here.
What?
Yes, here? Tell him Mr. Ware's at home and send him up. Where's my chloroform pad? Ah, here it is. I'll soon quiet him. Cripps, out with that light. Stand here behind the door. Right.
There he is. You'll find Mr. Ware in that room.
Now, you hound. Come out and settle accounts with me. Come out and show your face. Where are you?
A whiff of that, does it? That revolver. Take it away from him. Put it on the table.
Right.
Lie there, you brute. You won't trouble us anymore. Put that revolver down, Cripps, anywhere on the table. Now, look alive. Show me a light.
Yeah. Where are you? I say, clear out of this, all of you. Here's my governor coming back. He's left something. Crikey, here he is.
Hello. Well, what are you doing here? Who are these men? What business have you here?
We are friends of your clerk. He insisted on our coming here to spend the evening with him. But if you'll excuse me, I have an appointment.
Wait a bit. I want this thing cleared up. These are burglar's tools. A revolver. Help! Murder! Thieves!
Take that, you fool, since you won't be quiet.
My dear boy.
He's killed him.
This is
terrible. These are all spring for this.
You will if you don't keep your mouth shut.
We must risk the ledge. Come on out the window. We mustn't be seen coming out of the door.
Come on, Spider, or else they'll follow you for this.
I've gone a step too far this time. The fool. Why wouldn't he let me pass?
Oh, I thought I heard a noise like a shot. I must have been dreaming. Hello, who's this? Why, it's Mr. Denver. How did he get in here? Mr. Denver, wake up. Wake up, Jake.
Drunk again.
Here, Mr. Denver, wake up.
All right. Don't be in a hurry. Where am I?
You're in Mr. Ware's room at Hatton Garden, sir.
Yes, of course I am.
Shall I light you downstairs, sir?
No, I'll go soon.
Who is it? Leica?
Yes, it's Leica, sir.
You know me, Leica?
Oh, yes, I know you, sir. I'd better let him stay. He won't do any harm. I'll leave you the candle, sir. You can go home when you've quite woke up. Good night, sir. I'm going to bed. Mind you latch the street door when you go out. Good night.
Latch the street door. All right, Leica. What am I doing here? Well, this won't do. At home. At home, you drunken scoundrel. Oh, my head. What's the matter with my head? Oh, what place is this? Oh, Jeffrey Ware's room. I remember. What's that? Why, that's Jeffrey Ware. What's he doing here on the floor? Get up, will you? What's this? Blood! He's shot! My God, I murdered him! No. Let me think. What happened? Oh, yes, I remember now. I came out that door. He sprang at me, and we struggled. My revolver, let me look at my revolver. One barrel fired. He's dead! Dead! I've killed him! I've killed him!
Well, Jakes?
I can't see nothing of him, Missus.
You don't think he's carried out his threat?
Oh, not he, Missus. Don't you fear. Mr. Will won't do no harm. Now, don't you sit up any longer, Missus.
Oh, I'm used to it, Jakes. I'm used to it. Oh, but I'm forgetting, Jakes. You must be very tired. Go and get some sleep.
Very well, Missus, if you wish it.
Yes, there's a good Jakes. Good night.
Not good night, Missus. It's good morning.
Oh, that were the dawn of a new and happy life. Will!
Don't touch me. You don't know what I am. Keep away from me.
Oh, Will, not that. Not that. Oh, for mercy's sake, say it's not true.
Oh, if I could. This is true. I've killed him.
Oh. How did it happen?
I don't know. I was mad, dazed. I went to his room. It was dark. I called out for him. He sprang upon me from behind the door. We struggled. I suppose my revolver must have gone off, and then... Oh, I don't know what happened. The next thing I remember was Leica, the porter, woke me and left me. I looked around the room, and there he was, dead, shot by me.
Oh, my poor Will.
Don't touch me, I say. There's blood upon my hands.
What time was it when it happened?
I don't know. A little before 12, I think.
You mustn't stay here. This will be the first place they'll search. You must go to one of the big railway stations and take a ticket for a long distance. Then you must leave the train at the first station and so throw them off the scent.
Oh, my wife. Why don't you hate me?
Because you never had so much need of my love and of my prayers as you have now. Oh, we're wasting time. What money have you?
Not a shilling in the world.
Nor I. Oh, you will be lost, and all for want of a few pounds.
No, Mrs. He shan't. I've saved up a little money against a rainy day.
Oh, Jake.
And Master Will is as welcome to it as if it was his own.
Quick, get the money. Oh, wait.
Yes.
Your master must have some disguise. Think, what can he have?
Yes, Mrs. There's my poor brother Frank's things. They sent them to me when he died. How will they do?
Sailor's clothes. They'll do. Quick, yes, get them and put them into the portmanteau. And Jake, his topcoat and hat. Hurry, it's life or death.
Yes,
Mrs. Oh, Will, you must save yourself for my sake.
I shan't escape. They'll soon run me down now.
No, you must escape. You shall. Oh, how I will pray for it this night. And you will do your utmost for my sake.
Yes, I will.
Here you are, Master Will. Oh. You'll find poor Frank's clothes inside. He was about your figure. And here's the money. There's nearly 40 pounds.
I can't take your savings, Jackson.
Don't say mine, Master Will. It all came from you. And if the last drop of blood in my old heart could save you, you should have that as well.
Quick, dear, you must take it.
Give me a few pounds. Then I'll ship for myself. Here, you keep the rest. For her. You'll take care of her, won't you, Jakes?
You needn't ask me that, Master Will.
Oh, Will, the devil we should part like this. What's that?
They've come for me.
A chap with a billycock hat and check trousers.
Must be a detective. What shall I do?
Wait, quick. We'll try to keep him.
Goodbye. Oh, my wife, forgive me. Forgive me.
Go for your life. ¶¶ the tap room of the Checkers, a wayside inn. Denver, now clean-shaven but travel-stained and in sailor's clothes, has limped in exhausted. Two tradesmen are bickering with the parish clerk.
When you've quite finished with that paper, Mr. Parkin...
When I've quite finished with it, Mr. Binks, I'll hand it over to you.
Yes, Parkin, don't be greedy. Let's all have the benefit of the news.
I'm reading about a murder as was committed in Hatton Garden, London, last night.
I like a good murder. It's very pretty reading.
Have they found out who done the murder as you're reading about, Mr. Parkin?
Oh, yes, a party by the name of Denver. There ain't no doubt about it.
Ah, that's a pity. It takes away all the interest and excitement.
Parkin gets more oggish over the paper every day.
Read it out loud, Parkin, then we can all hear it.
Very well, gentlemen, if it's the wish of the company.
I think it's my turn to read out loud tonight, Mr. Parkin. You read out the horrible affair at Camberwell last night, and the revolting tragedy the night afore.
Well, Mr. Binks, and if I did, am I not the clerk of this parish?
Yes, Mr. Parkin. But because we're obliged to listen to you on Sundays, when you've got us in church and we can't help ourselves, is no reason why you should bullyrag us on weekdays when we got the right of reply.
Perhaps you're not aware, Mr. Binks, that the Lord Bishop of this diocese has particularly admired my reading of the Psalms.
Very likely, Mr. Parkin. But then the Psalms is one thing, and the Daily Telegraph's another.
Gentlemen, I'm in your hands.
Go on, Mr. Parkin, read out. Let's hear all about the murder.
Wilfred Denver, a young fellow of good connections who has lately been leading a life of gambling and dissipation, and who had returned from the Derby in a drunken frenzy, aggravated, it is said, by heavy betting losses...
Wheeler!
I really cannot read, sir, if you interrupt.
Who asked you to read? You talk about the Hatton Garden murder?
Yes, here we are.
I know Hatton Garden very well. Have they discovered anything fresh?
No, that's only the morning paper. The evening paper ain't come yet.
They hope they catch the man before long.
Oh, I expect they'll soon run him down.
Yes, I expect so.
Stranger in these parts, eh?
Yes. I know them little.
Sailor, eh?
Yes.
Oh, where might you be making for?
I'm going to join my ship.
Yes. Where might that be, mate?
She's at... Oh! What the devil's that got to do with you? Waiter! Show me to a private room where these men can't pester me.
Pester him? Why, what's the matter with him, eh?
Pester him, indeed. I wonder who he is.
He's a madman, that's what he is. Did you notice how he stays?
Perhaps he's escaped from somewhere.
Let's right this way, Mrs. sir.
Let's go put on a guard. He's a dangerous character to have about the act.
Here you are, sir.
Thank you.
You look tired.
Yes, my girl, I am.
What's the matter with your foot?
Eh? Oh, nothing.
Oh, that's a fib. You're quite lame.
I walked a good bit today. I'm dead beat.
Never mind. You'll be better tomorrow.
Yes, I shall be better tomorrow. Bring me some water, will you?
Yes, sir. Anything else?
You get the London evening paper here?
Yes, sir. It generally comes about this time.
Let me have it the moment it comes. Don't look at me. There's a good girl. Now, go out, shut the door. Don't let me be disturbed.
Poor fellow. I wonder who he is.
How long will it last? Wonder if anyone saw me jump from the train. Must be about 8:15. And yesterday at this time I was innocent. Yesterday he was alive. I could laugh and play the fool. And now... Oh, God, put back the universe. And give me yesterday. Too late. Heaven work out some way of escape for me. Not for my own sake, not to shield me from the just consequences of my crime, but for the sake of my dear wife and innocent children.
Yes, sir. There you are.
Thank you, Michael.
You ain't a bit like a sailor.
Why not? What makes you think that?
Oh, sailors are always hearty and jolly and want to kiss me. I know you've hurt your foot. I wish you'd let John the ostler see it. He's as good as a doctor for sprains. He'll tell you what to bathe it with.
No, let me alone. That's all I want. Well?
Paper, sir.
Oh, thank you. What's this?
Terrible railway calamity. 7:35 express from Euston. That's the train I was in. A collision. The three front carriages with all their occupants were burning for upwards of an hour. Nothing was left of them but cinders. Amongst the ill-fated passengers was Wilfred Denver, who committed the murder in Hatton Garden last night. What's this? And was thus paid the last penalty of his crime in the very act of flying from justice. Paid the last penalty of his crime. And now dead. Dead to all the world.
Merciful Father, thou hast heard my prayer and given me life.
My wife, you will see this and think me dead. Better so. Better so than to be tied to a murderer. Yes, my darling, I have done you harm enough. Now I'll set you free. How far is it to the station?
A mile, sir.
There's a late train down to Bristol, isn't there?
Yes, sir, the Down Night Mail.
Order a horse and conveyance to meet it at once.
Yes, sir.
I'll reach Bristol tonight. Wilfred Denver is dead. Tomorrow, I begin a new life.
Have elapsed. The spider still flourishes on his ill-gotten gains. Nellie Denver and her two children are living in dire poverty, but still served faithfully by loyal old Jakes. Wilfred Denver has changed greatly in 3 years. Grave and subdued, his hair almost white, he has come back to find some trace of his loved ones. The bleak winter wind seems to chill all hope of success. He pauses near a schoolhouse to watch the children romping out.
Why are you crying, my dear?
The girls won't play with me. They won't speak to me.
Why, how's that? What makes them so cruel? Come, tell me all about it. You're not afraid of me, are you?
No, I like you.
That's right. I thought we should get on together. Now tell me all your troubles. Why won't they play with you?
You won't tell anybody, will you?
No, I promise you. It'll be a secret.
They say my father killed a man. Oh, that makes you turn away from me.
No. No, my dear, don't think that. Tell me, quick. What's your name?
Sissy Denver.
Sissy Denver? My own child.
Why are you crying?
Never mind me, never mind me. Where do you live?
In here.
In there? In that wretched hole. Who else is with you, Sissy?
Mother and Ned and our old Jake. You don't know old Jake. I do love him.
God bless him. Where are the others, Sissy?
I dare say Jakes has gone to get some work, and Mother isn't at home. We can't pay our rent, and she's gone to ask the gentleman to let us stop on for a few days. Ned's in there. He's asleep. He's been very ill.
Ill? Not dangerously ill?
Yes, but he's getting better. And if he could have nice things to eat, he'd...
So he shall. Everything that money can buy. Yeah. Take this purse and he'll find plenty of money in that.
Is that for Mother? Oh, that's kind. What will you do without it?
Well, I've got plenty more at home. And now, I wonder if you'll give me a kiss.
Oh, yes, that I will.
I had a little girl of my own once. When I kiss you, it seems as if she came back to me again.
She's dead then?
Yes. Dead. To me.
I know I should have been very fond of you if you'd been my father.
God bless you, my darling. You mustn't mind when your schoolfellows speak unkindly of your dead father.
I won't. I don't believe it's true. I don't believe he was a bad man. Because if he had been, Jakes and Mother wouldn't have been so fond of him.
Always think that, my dear. Always think that. Here, dear. This scarf will keep a little of the cold out.
Oh, isn't it pretty?
There now. Run to find your mother. Give her that purse.
Oh, yes, that I will. She's gone to Mr. Skinner's. That nice big house across the street.
Run on, then, my brave little queen.
Hello. What are you doing here? And let's have a look at your face.
Master Will! It's Master Will come back from the dead. Oh, say it's really you, Master Will.
Yes, it is I. Come back, as you say, from the dead. My wife, is she well? How is she? Has she suffered much? Does she ever speak of me?
Oh, Master Will, I can't tell you what she had to go through. It's been a terrible fight for her, but she's borne up like an angel. Oh, sir, you've come back at the right time. We're nearly starving.
Starving? Well, it's all over now. I'm rich, Jakes. I'm rich. When I left England, I went to the silver mines of Nevada. I had to struggle hard at first and could only send you a few dollars. I was almost starving myself. But one morning, I struck a rich vein of silver. Today, I'm richer than I can count. Then I sent you $1,000. But none of it reached you.
No, sir. You see, we've changed our home so often. She always took care not to leave our address for fear...
For fear, yes. My wretched story should follow you, I see.
Oh, sir, don't say any more about that. That's all past now. And Miss Nellie, she'll go mad with joy.
No! No, she mustn't know, Jakes.
Not know? Not tell her, Master.
Not yet. Listen, Jakes. I've come back to England with one thought, with one resolve, to make her happy. When that happens to me, that I will do.
Surely, Master Will, you are safe after all these years.
I'm known as John Franklin, Kensington Gardens, London. But I shall never be safe till I stand in the dock to answer for my crime. I shall be safe then. I've started 100 times to give myself up, but I've always been held back by the thought that I was not myself that night. But it will come, Jakes.
What'll come, sir?
Detection. If I were to join her, suspicion would be aroused at once. I might be discovered, dragged from her side, tried, condemned, and hanged.
Oh, Master Wheeler, the missus could, but no, if she could.
Not yet,
no.
Jakes. Now listen. You shall take her from this poverty and put her in her old home with everything that money can buy. And then, when I have made her rich, cheerful, contented, I'll ask myself whether I may dare to throw the shadow of my life across her happiness. In the meantime, promise me, swear to me that she shall not know.
Why, of course, Master Will, if you wish it.
God bless you, my dear old Jakes, for all your kindness. God bless you. I shall never be able to repay you.
Nellie and the children have been moved back into their old home at the Grange. But old Jakes is having difficulty keeping his happy secret.
You know, missus, all this money is, as you may say, yours.
Mine, Jake?
Yes. You see, my Uncle Samuel left particular instructions in his will that... Well, never mind about my Uncle Samuel. We'll drop the subject. Well, aren't you happy now? You're back in your old home, missus?
Yes, Jake. I am happy.
Quite happy, missus?
Yes, Jake. Happier than I ever hoped to be.
There's something, missus, I can see. There's something you miss. Now, ain't there? Tell the truth.
Yes, Jake. There is.
What is it, missus? I've ordered him to lay out the garden just as it used to be. And to plant a new chestnut tree where the old one was blown down.
Oh, Jake, can't you see what it is? I'm back in my old home without the man who made it all dear to me. Without my Will. Oh, I love him still. Yes, I love him as much today as the day I married him in the church yonder. Huh? It was under this tree I promised to be his wife. Oh, Jake, I remember it as if it were yesterday. Everything here, every tree, every brick in the old house, every little nook and corner brings back to me his dear, handsome face until I can sometimes hardly stop myself from running all through the grounds and fields and calling out, Will, come back to me. Come back to me if it were but for a moment. Now you know what it is. I miss my old home, my husband's love. And you can't give that back to me, Jake. No. No, not that. Not that.
Can't I? Oh, yes, I can. And I will, too, this very day. I wrote and told him I can't keep his secret no longer. He's on his way to you now as fast as the train can bring him.
Oh, look at these flowers, Jake, for Mama. Aren't they pretty? Oh, Jake, it was kind of you to bring us to this beautiful home.
No, it's not me, little missy. It isn't me is it doing it at all. Now run along and give the flowers to your mother.
Oh, yes, Uncle Jake.
Jake's Master Will.
Is anybody about? May I come in?
Oh, yes, come in, Master Will. Miss Nellie's gone to give her poor people their dinner, and I'm all alone.
You're sure I shan't be seen?
Oh, no fear, sir. I'll keep a good lookout.
How is she? Is she quite well and happy? And the children?
Oh, yes, they're all quite well. Oh, Master Will, don't hide it from her no longer. Tell her you're alive. You wait here. I'll go and fetch her to
you. Jakes, you mustn't go.
Oh, Master Will. When you brought her back here and spent all that money to make the old place just like it used to be when she was a girl, you thought you was going to make her happy, didn't you?
Have I not made her happy? What more can I do?
Why, sir, don't you see? Home ain't four walls and the ceiling and the furniture. Home's the place where them as loves us is. And it was you what made this place home for her. And she's breaking her heart because it's her home no longer.
Jakes, I will tell you why my wife must not know that I'm alive. When I have told you, you must never speak of it again. Last night, I went down to the river to a place owned by that man, Coombe.
What, the man was going to turn the missus out?
Yes. I've been following him up for the last 6 months. Ever since I recognized him as the man that showed me into Jeffrey Ware's room that night. I've caught at the straw of a hope that I might find out something that might give me a right to believe that I did not shed that man's blood.
Oh, how happy it would make her.
And so, night after night, I go to that place on the river and watch and watch and watch. I've tried to get in, all in vain. Seems a hopeless task. Well, when I got back last night, I found your letter waiting for me, begging me to make myself known to my wife. I read the letter again and again. The more I tried to persuade myself that for her dear sake I must keep silence, the more my heart cried out, I must have her. I will have her. If I die for it, she shall be my own again. Oh, Jakes, I was so happy. I couldn't sleep for joy of it. And when at last I put my head on my pillow, my one thought was, tomorrow I'll tell her I'm alive. Tomorrow I'll take her in my arms and call her my wife again.
And so you shall, Master Will. Let me fetch her
Stay.
To you.
I fell asleep, Jakes. Do you know what a murderous sleep is like? It's the waking time of conscience. I fell asleep last night. And I dreamed a great bony hand came out of the sky. The hand gripped me as a hawk grips a wren, set me on the gallows, and I felt the plank fall from my feet, and I dropped. I awoke.
Oh, for mercy's sake, Master Will.
And I knew that the dream was sent for a message to tell me that though I should fly to the uttermost ends of the earth, as high as the stars are above, or as the deepest sea is below, there is no hiding for me, no rest, no hope, no shelter, no escape.
Jakes, who's that? Oh, it's you. You've come to see us in our new home. But you're crying. What's the matter? Are you unhappy?
Not now, Sissy. Now. Not now.
Jakes, do you know the kind gentleman?
No, Missy, no.
I'm so glad you've come. You'll come and live with us, will you?
What would you do with me?
Oh, you'll play with Ned and me. We've got a rocking horse and soldiers and oh, lots of things.
What games we could have, couldn't we?
Oh, yes. Oh, do stay, will you? Do.
And your mother?
Oh, I know she'd be glad to have you. She's always wondering and talking about you. Who are you?
Who am I?
Yes, tell me. Tell me true.
Well, I'm a king.
But what king are you?
I'm the Silver King. At least that's what men call me. But I must go now. Goodbye, Sissy.
Oh, no, you mustn't go. Mama does want to see you so badly. Wait here, I'll go and fetch her. Mama! Mama!
Master Will, won't you stay?
No, Jakes. Let me go. Not a word for her sake. Let me go.
Come on, Mama.
Yes, darling.
Where is he, Jake?
Where is he?
Where's who, Mrs.?
The gentleman who was here who gave the purse to Sissy.
Oh, yes, Mrs. There was a gentleman here, but as he was rather pressed for time, he had to go to catch his train, and the train's gone.
Oh, Jake, that's the story. Train's only just started, for I heard the whistle and I can see the smoke.
Jake, why don't you tell me the truth?
It'll come out.
Who is this man? This gentleman who gave the purse to Sissy?
How should I know?
Jake, I will take no more money from you, no more food, no more shelter, till I know where it comes from. Who is he, Jake? Who is he, I say?
Oh, Mrs., can't you guess?
Jake, I knew it. Oh, he's alive. Sissy, oh, my darling, kiss me. Your father is alive. Meantime, Denver, disguised as ragged old Deaf Dickie, watches Coombs' wharf in an endeavor to prove his innocence. We go now to the thieves' hideout inside Coombs' wharf. The spider is expected.
The spider.
Where is the venerable Coombs?
Here, my dear boy. I'm delighted to see you.
Reciprocated, Mr. Coombs. There's something magical in the grasp of your hand. It's horny and dirty, but what of that? It's honest. The shake of an honest hand does me good. Now, Coombs, sharp's the word. Let's get to business.
Well, I'll send off Dickie first.
Boil me down into mock turtle soup.
What's the matter, Cripps?
Why, the deaf chap would be just the man to keep this here crib.
Yes, we ought to have somebody here. What's the fellow like?
Well, he's deaf, but he's a hidget. The police would never be able to get anything out of him, and he could never tell any lies about us.
Ah, that's the sort of a man we want. Bring him in. Let's have a look at him.
Yeah.
Hey. You.
Hey.
Dickie.
Hey.
Come in here. Come in here.
What's your name?
Eh?
What's your name?
Yeah, yes, Governor.
What's your confounded name, you thick-headed doddy-dod?
He's round at the public house. Dickie, go fetch him, Governor.
Oh, this man would be a perfect treasure in the witness box.
Dickie, go there if you like, Governor.
I should like to see him under cross-examination.
Dickie, take him an answer.
No answer. Listen, you want work, don't you?
Eh?
Work!
Oh, work. Oh, yes, Governor. Dickie worked very hard, scrub floor, run mess. Dickie, do what you tell him.
Coombs, this man is like you. He'll do anything for an honest living.
Well, shall we have him?
Dickie, be as faithful as a dog. Give poor Dickie a chance, Governor.
He's as safe as anybody we can get. All right, Coombs, give him a trial.
Eh? What did you say, Governor?
No, he'll tell you. I can't shout anymore.
You can come on here as porter and sleep on the premises. Look, 15 shillings a week.
Eh?
15 shillings.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Dickie's so glad.
All right, now come this way. I'll show you where you've got to sleep.
Eh?
Sleep. Oh. Sleep. Come on.
Dickie stay here always. Dickie's very fond of Mr. Coombs. Thank you.
Cripps, I want you to make me some keys to fit these molds.
Oh.
Oh, who the plague is that?
I know. It's the Duke of New York. He must have followed Dickie.
You better let him in, or else he'll kick up a row.
Hello, dear boys. Oh, Spider El Chemi. Bless you.
Bless yourself. Pray for some brains. What do you want here?
LSD, especially the apple.
What have you done with the last 20 pounds?
Blowed it.
Why, it's our young friend, Henry Corky.
Dear old Father Christmas.
Now, Coombs, have you stored away your March hare?
Yes. I've took him up to the cockloft, and I've given him some bread and cheese and left him. He seems happy enough.
In business. Sharp. Where's the money box?
How much?
180.
What? Only 180 for all that plate? Oh, I'd better have left it in Sir George's sideboard. I shall miss it the next time I dine with him. Now, my venerable chum, just one word with you about Lady Blanche's jewels. Where are they?
Well, you see, my dear boy, I didn't like to leave them here. So I took them to my own place, you know, my shop in the Gray's Inn Road. I thought they'd be safer there.
Now, Coombs, you're telling lies, you know. Lies. And setting a bad example for Cripps here. Those jewels are worth 6,000 pounds. And once more for the last time, where are they?
Don't get in a temper, Spider. I tell you, I may have a customer for them next week, and we'll settle for them then.
No, we won't settle for them then. We'll settle for them now.
Yes, we'll settle for them now.
Yes, we'll settle for them now.
You infernal jackanapes, what business is it of yours?
Every business of mine, Mr. Spider. I means to have 50 quid out of this.
Oh, you do, do you?
Yes, and if you don't give it me, I'll let on about Eton Gardens 4 years ago.
If you say half a word more, I...
Half a word
oh,
more!
Oh, come, come, you my dear boys, no more.
Stow it, Spider, stow it.
I've given you rope enough, Mr. Cockett.
Don't you talk about rope, Spider. If he comes to hang in, it won't be me, it'll be you.
Curse you, will you never give me peace until I kill you?
Yes, like you killed Jeffrey Ware.
No! Innocent! Innocent, thank God!
Who is that? Who is that?
Wilfred Denver!
What?
Stand for my door!
Stop him!
Stop me! The whole world shall not stop me now!
Denver, unaware that he's being followed by the Spider, rushes off to the Grange to clasp Nellie in his arms and tell her of the proof of his innocence.
Is it my will? My will? On his face, this white hair. Oh, my will alive.
Nell.
Oh, Will. Don't speak. Don't say a word. Only let me look at you. Oh. Oh, let me cry. Or else my heart will break. Oh, don't stop me, Will. Don't stop me. Oh, my darling.
That's right. Have a good cry. Oh. And ease your heart.
Oh.
Oh, Nell. Nell, I've such news for you. I never killed that man. I am innocent.
Oh, Will. Is it true?
Yes, my own. Do you think I'm changed?
Yes. Yes and no. Changed. And not changed. But you're always the same to me. You're always my Will.
Nellie. Our children, our little Ned and Sissy, where are they?
I was waiting for you to ask that.
Oh, gently, gently, Missy. Gently, Master Ned. That's my old rheumatic arm. Now, don't pull it out of joint, you young Turk.
Ned. Sissy. Do you know me? I'm your father. Put your arms round my neck. Both of you. Quite close. That's it, my darlings.
I know who that little girl was that you lost.
Hmm? Well, tell me, who was she?
Why, me, wasn't she?
Yes. I've found her now. I shall never lose her again.
No, we'll never let you go away again, shall we, Mama?
No, indeed, darling.
But you're crying. And Jake, you too? What's there to cry for?
Don't you take no notice of me, Missy. I'm not crying. I'm only laughing the wrong way.
Look, Will. That man.
Jakes, take my children away. Go into the house, Nell. I'll come to you when I have sent this man away.
No, let me stay. I'd rather stay.
Mr. John Franklin?
Denver, sir. Come, Nell. I have no business with this man.
Mrs. Franklin, I hold your husband's life in my hands. If you value it, I beg you to beg him to hear me. Hear what I have to say.
Oh, Will, are you in danger? Oh, yes, let us hear what he has to say.
What I have to say must be said to him alone.
We'll listen to him, for my sake.
Remain within sight, within call.
Yes, please.
Now, sir.
Look here, Mr. Franklin.
Denver.
I thought I'd better not mention that name. I don't want to get you into any trouble.
I'll take care you don't do that.
You appear to misunderstand me.
Not at all. I understand you perfectly. I've watched you night and day for the last 5 months.
What do you know? What have you seen?
Enough for my purpose.
And you mean to use it?
I do.
Take care, I warn you. Don't quarrel with me. I'll give you a chance, and if you're wise, you'll take it before it's too late.
Go on.
We're both in a devil of a mess. I want to make a mutual concession. Silence for silence.
And the alternative?
You fight me, and I'll fight you. You proclaim me a thief and get me a possible 5 or 7 years. I proclaim you a murderer and get you hanged. Take care. It's an edged tool we're playing with. It cuts both ways. But the handle is in my hands, and the blade is toward you. You'd better remain John Franklin. Wilfred Denver is dead. Let him remain so.
You lie! Down to your very soul, you lie! Wilfred Denver is alive, and today all the world shall know it. Nell.
Yes, Will.
There stands the murderer of Jeffrey Ware.
Oh.
He wants to bargain with me. Shall I hide myself or shall I fight him?
Kill Miss Ansdell.
You shall fight him.
You have your answer. Go.
I shall go straight from here and give information to the police that Wilfred Denver is alive.
I will save you that trouble. I shall surrender myself at once.
And I'll save you that trouble.
Baxter!
Baxter. Mr. Baxter, do your duty and arrest the murderer of Jeffrey Ware.
Very well. I'll do my duty and arrest the murderer of Jeffrey Ware.
What do you mean?
I mean that your dear friend, Mr. Henry Corkett, has turned Queen's evidence.
Yes, I will.
And you believe him?
Oh, yes. I always believe what's told me, especially when it's proved.
And what proof have you of this tale?
The evidence of your other friends, Mr. Coombe and Mr. Cripps. Thanks to Mr. Corkett, I've bagged a lot of them, and they all tell the same tale. Is that enough, Spider?
The blackguards. Hang the lot.
Well, no. I think that may happen to you, but I fancy they'll get off.
Oh, don't let them off, Master. Hang the lot of them.
Mr. Wilfred Denver, I believe?
That is my name.
I shall want you as a witness against this man.
I shall be ready to come when called upon. But I've no desire for revenge. My only wish is to clear my name.
That is already done. Come, Spider. I want to catch the up train. I've got a call to make on Lady Blanche Winter in town this morning.
Are these handcuffs necessary?
Well, yes, I think so, if you don't mind. Take care of him, Bob.
Yes, sir.
You've had a very narrow escape, sir. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Baxter. Come now. Let us kneel and give thanks in the dear old home where I wooed you and won you in the happy, happy days of long ago.
Oh, my darling.
Home at last.
Been listening to the famous old English melodrama, The Silver King. The play was adapted and directed by Joseph Bell. The research was done by Blevins Davis. We also wish to thank Mr. Robert Camel and Mr. Arthur Wallach for their invaluable reminiscences. The cast was as follows. The Modern Girl, played by Lucille Wall. Wilfred Denver, Charles Webster. Nellie Denver, Peggy Allenby. Captain Skinner, the Spider. Richard Gordon. Elia Coombe, Harry Cooper Cliff, Daniel Jakes, William Shelley, Jeffrey Ware, George Gall, Henry Corkett, Eustace Wyatt, Tubbs, Harry Neville, Pawkin, John McGovern, Brownson, William Podmore, Susie, Barbara Weeks, Sissy Denver, Marilyn Erskine, and Baxter the Detective, Eric Dressler. The orchestra was under the direction of Joseph Hante. On Saturday, April 30th, the Great Play Series will be scheduled at 5:15 Eastern Daylight Saving Time. Your announcer is Jack Costello. This is an NBC educational feature of the National Broadcasting Company, RCA Building, Radio City.